Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. I believe we have Donnie on now. Yes, we do. Hello, Donnie. It's great to see you on Saturday. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
So what did you think? You and I talked before the game, and then a few hours later the game was over. What were the impressions that struck you about it?
Yeah, they were as clean as they've been all season on offense, but they were also getting chances to make those plays deep. And I think that's really it's not a surprise. We've all talked about it all year that, you know, that was the next step for the offense, being able to take some of those some advantage of some of those opportunities to hit plays deep when you're in zero coverage or cover one and you got a lot of man being played. And I think that's really been the next step for Drew Aller. He's taken those opportunities, and to the credit of the receivers, who we all had questions about, they made plays. And I don't think Maryland in the secondary, they always put some guys in the NFL. They're a pretty good secondary. I mean, they got some individual talent out there. So I thought that, you know, Olushanu said this morning on his call, the Maryland game came at the right time. And I think Penn State needed a game like that where they played as consistently on offense as they have all season. They made the plays that they're going to need to make to beat a really good team. And I think the big question I have is, you know, what does it do for your confidence, and what does confidence really mean? I think you don't measure it in any analytical way, but you have to have it coming into a game against Michigan. And I think Penn State is going to be playing with a lot of confidence this week. Now, whether that translates against a very different Michigan defense that's going to have a very different plan, I don't know. But I think Penn State, with what he did against Michigan, puts themselves in a really good position to play during the championship months here, which is what Olu called November. And really, they played well in November last year. I think they're set up for it this year, but this is a huge challenge.
No question, because this is I mentioned in 17, 19, and 22, years where Penn State ended up going to a New Year's Six Bowl game and winning all three, the Fiesta, Cotton, and Rose Bowls. They got to November in each of those years, Donnie, and there was never a game that could move them any further up. That's not this year. That game is this week. What's your thought on that because of how the schedule has played out?
Yeah, that's a good point, because last year, hey, you played strong in November, but it was not a good schedule. It was not the kind of schedule, like you said, that's going to move you up into fifth place or any higher in the playoff. But this is a game that changes everything. If you go out and win it, I don't want to say people forget about Ohio State, but I think you can forget about Ohio State and what happened out there. And in a lot of ways, if you're of the belief that Michigan is better than Ohio State, and I'm not certain that they're not, I think that they have played the way they've played them the last 2 years. I think certainly they'd be the favorite again this year. If Penn State could beat Michigan, figure out a way to get it done, they're in the driver's seat in a way. If Michigan could beat Ohio State later in the year, and assuming you get the three-way tie scenario, you know, their tiebreaker is better. So I think this is kind of this is one game that has that feeling of the 2016 Ohio State game to me, where, you know, it doesn't seem likely on paper, but if you can get it done, no matter how you have to get it done, it could change the outlook for you. And they won that game, and that was it. They took off for a couple of months from there. I think that this game presents itself in that way for Penn State. And look, the other thing with Michigan is they have never been as dominant against Penn State in Happy Valley as they've been in Ann Arbor. I mean, this is just a different program when you see them on the road. So I think Penn State is set up in a way. But the question is Michigan man for man too good for it? And I think I came into the season thinking Penn State would have to prove it to me against Michigan, and they're going to have to prove it this week. But I think they know that. And look, you know, when you go out to Ohio State and lay an egg, and I think they laid an egg in a lot of different facets of the game on offense, you know, that does provide some motivation to go out there and prove that was the fluke and not history being the fluke, which, you know, Let's see how that goes. But I think Penn State's got a lot to play for, and Michigan hasn't played a team like this. So it's going to be interesting.
It'll be good. I want to get to that point in a moment, but I did want to bring up Dante Cephas first, because you had mentioned the wide receiver stepping up. He primarily is the guy that stepped up. Two touchdown catches in the game, reliable. They were both really good catches. Are you starting to see in him the balance to Keandre Lambert-Smith on the other side, or do you still need to see more?
Starting to see it for sure. And you know, I think with Cephas, the thing was always consistency. James mentioned that a lot. Consistency with route running, consistency with practice. And you know, he wasn't brought in to be a fourth receiver. He was brought in to be what he was against Maryland. And I think the play, you know, certainly that first touchdown, great throw by Drew. Mm-hmm. And Cephas did an athletic job to get his feet down. That was pretty good coverage on that throw. But, you know, that's a touchdown they hadn't scored all year. That style of touchdown outside of Keandre. And Cephas gets it for him. But I think the play that he made that was most encouraging, I think, for Penn State's offense was the second touchdown. Because that's a good cornerback covering him. And he got a lot of separation right off the line. He did a really good job, ran a great route. Drew put it right on him. He hauls it in. He played with a lot of confidence after that first touchdown. And, you know, there was so much talk the week before about Drew with the, you know, oh, does the interception help him? And I've heard a couple of players say that they thought that might free him up a little bit. And I don't necessarily buy that. But I certainly think the first touchdown catch for Cephas might free him up a little bit, get him playing with a little more confidence. So I think that's a big deal. And if he plays like a number two or a number one guy going forward, and look, Penn State's counting on him. They have him for a while here. They want him to play like that. So obviously they want him to play like that. So I think that would help. But, you know, they also – McClain played a lot the last couple of weeks. Saunders had a couple of targets. And it took a really nice play to prevent him from getting a touchdown. Really, maybe a really lucky play for Maryland in a way to keep him from scoring a touchdown. So I think the receivers played better, but I think some of that was the coverage. But I don't know if the coverage had much to do with Cephas' game. I think it was him playing with a lot more confidence. So, and that's what they need, because Keandre is a confident guy. We all know that. And they needed somebody else to kind of play with that mentality and that attitude, and Cephas came out and did it.
So, Donnie, I'm going to go back now and jump back to the end of what you were talking about when it came to Michigan. I don't know about you, but until I watched tapes this week, I had not watched Michigan play this year. And the reason I hadn't watched them play this year, there wasn't a single game that, as a fan, I wanted to watch. I mean, you know, in other words, like, let's take Saturday night. I know Jack Hamm and I were driving back on Saturday night, but we listened to Washington USC on the radio, and we listened to Alabama LSU. And Jack would check his phone to see what the Purdue score was with Michigan. I mean, if I'm home, I would have been going back and forth between those two games. I would not have been watching Michigan. And they haven't played anybody that, like, where I sat back and, like, hey, I can't wait for that game. So what do you think of, I mean, how difficult? We know they're really good. Okay, we know that. But do we know how good?
Yeah, I don't know if we can, if we're truly going to know until this week, because, yeah, what is them playing Michigan State and them playing whoever, what does that tell you? It doesn't really mean much. And I bring up Michigan State because that's the team I saw them play. They played Sparty when we were in Columbus, and after the game, Rich Scarcella and I went to eat, and they had it on the big screen. But I'm not sure anywhere else in the country had that game on the big screen. It just happened to be in Columbus, Ohio. So that's the only reason I've seen them. But I would have been in the same boat. I would have never. There have been no occasion to watch a Michigan game for me, because what does it prove? And they haven't had a prove it moment this year. And I don't know if it's going to matter if they get off to this great start. It's 14-0.
Sure.
I don't know if it matters. But if it's 10-10 in the third quarter. If it's the Ohio State game, let's say if it's the same kind of style, it's a rock fight in the second half, it's a one score game, and then I think it might matter. So I that's where I think James has said a couple times this year where the object is, and of course it's the object. You know, you can't lose more than once. The object is try to go undefeated. But I think there's value in playing somebody in your non-conference schedule who could tie their shoes. And Michigan hasn't done that, and right. they will in the future. To be fair to them, I think they have Texas coming up.
They have Texas next year.
They will in the future. Yeah, but right. this year they went for that theory where we got to do our best to go undefeated, or at least the one loss. And I think, man, congratulations, they set themselves up. They've looked very impressive every week, but now they have a real game. They have a real opponent on the road in a hostile environment. It's going to be nuts at Beaver Stadium, and they're going to have to show what they really are, and I don't know if they know what they really are yet. And Penn State, if they can make this game, if they could turn this game into what Ohio State was to a degree, stay in it, if they want to play better, of course. But if that's a close game, I think you see a very different Michigan team than we've seen all season. And now, again, they come out and score 14 early. The entirely different story.
Yeah, and as you know, I've said before, look, the really good teams aren't in close games. But, like,
correct.
Let's take, for example, like Duke basketball, and I've talked about this before as well. Yeah, they're not in really close games with Mike. But then eventually you do have to play North Carolina. Now, that is going to be a close game, right? So the teams you're expected to not be in close games in, okay, you go from there. They're in that spot. They're a really good team. They have not been in a close game. But at some point, you do have to cross that road. And that includes, obviously, a talented quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, who has, been a difference maker for them.
Yeah, he's a terrific player. And, look, the game they lost, we could, make all the comments we want, but that was the one game last year where they may not have had signals or whatever. Make all the jokes we want, but it was also that TCU game, one game where McCarthy played really badly.
Yes,
so,
he did.
Yeah, and if he plays well, that's a really good offense. It just is, and I'm not sure they get credit for being as potent on offense as Ohio State is, but their running game is obviously really good. It's Edwards and Corum, and I'm not sure it's as dynamic as Corum pre-injury, but it's still a pretty good Blake Corum. And it's a pretty good receiving core. Roman Wilson is a
he's
clutch
player.
He's a very, very underrated guy to me.
Yes.
And Loveland, the tight end, is, I think, better than all who they had a couple of years ago is at Iowa now. So I think this is a team that is better potentially on offense than they've been in a while. I think this is a team that could win the national championship. Or, they can come in and not play well at Beaver Stadium again and make it really difficult on themselves. Who knows? But yeah, we're going to have to see it. And the other thing is, we don't know. This is a team that's got a lot going on, with the sign stuff and Harbaugh's availability and things like that. We don't know how that's affecting the players. And again, close game. Who knows? Do they start doubting themselves a little bit? How do they react? I think we learn a lot about Michigan either way this week. We could learn a lot about Penn State. But I think this is definitely a game where you're going to learn a lot more about Michigan.
Oh, no, we'll learn a lot more about both teams, Donnie. I mean, in terms of road environment, they played in Nebraska, but it's not Beaver Stadium because Nebraska, they're an underdog at that point.
Nebraska's not Penn State.
Right. They're not a contending team like Penn State is, where the stakes are so high. And this crowd, there's going to be over 110,000. And when you go on the road, and you do have to either do silent count or hand signal, whatever you do, it does take away your typical cadence. And to be honest with you, again, there it's another position Michigan's not used to being in.
Yeah, we've seen that in the past where Michigan comes in for the whiteout. That's the famous one. The first play of the game, they couldn't get the signal in with Patterson when they have to call timeout with 15 minutes showing on the clock in the first quarter. And I think that's where last week comes in a little bit, because Penn State really needs a good crowd this week. They need an active crowd. They need a circus there. They really do. And I think last week, playing as well as they did, I think that kind of draws people back in. It's the old Jack Nicholson line. They've drawn me back in. or I think it was Jack Nicholson. I don't know, yeah. but they've drawn me back in, and I think there's that feeling with the Penn State fans now, where they can kind of see, well, this really is not going to take a whole lot, other than, you know, the whole act of beating Michigan, which is difficult enough in itself. But if that could, you know, if Penn State could do that, and if they could play well in this game, then the whole season changes, the whole outlook changes. What happened in Columbus, who, you know, at that point, it's the past. Now, yeah, and again, they have to be able to go out and do that. But I think they're going to have a crowd this week that's going to help them get there.
How important is it for everybody at Penn State? I'm talking about James, the players, anybody associated with the football program, that when it comes to the ancillary issues with Michigan right now, they just play it cool and stay away from it.
I would stay away from it 100%. I would pretend it doesn't. I think the way James has to play this, and I think to a degree he's done this, pretend it's not even an issue. Pretend, they operate like you know they got the signal. But I would do that every week.
Right.
You know,
yes,
I would do that to a degree, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he played it right yesterday. Talk about how good this team is on film, what you're seeing, and just go from there. You can't make it about that. I think one thing I think they give a lot of credit. Penn State gives a lot of credit, I think. I mean, maybe not publicly, but in their meetings, watching film, I think they give a lot of credit to Ohio State and Michigan. And I think you have to go out there and kind of be aggressive against them, and, you know, just go and play kind of the way you play against Maryland, if that's even possible. I'm not sure it's possible mentality-wise with the players, but just go out and do that and be aggressive with it. But I would kind of, if I were James, just come out and say, look, we don't care about if they have our signals, great, good for them. But, you know, if we execute what we're doing, they can't stop it anyway. That would be my approach to it as a coach. But, you know, you privately behind the scenes, you have to have some contingency plans for that, and I'm sure they do. But yeah, I think the public approach to that has to be this week. You can't make that a story. You have to make that something that they talk about in Ann Arbor and not in State College.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you to have an excuse.
Right. Exactly. Like, you know what? Show up on Saturday, whomever's out there, play. And go from there. Donnie, always a pleasure. Great to see you on Saturday. Always appreciate you very much.
Hope to see you again this week, Steve.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Outstanding, one of the best, no question.